Connected live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
What to watch
on Point of View.
With none other than Leroy Mark, who's in studio with us. Hello, Leroy.
It's Hello, everybody. After 9,
so this is definitely your time.
Yes, it is. It's my time of the day or evening.
So, okay, where do we start? Let's start with Unstoppable.
Unstoppable. So that's what you are.
I don't think you are... You're going to guess what actually excites me about this film.
Okay, tell me.
John Tito.
John Tito. You know?
John Tito.
You know?
I mean, like, I was like jumping up. My goodness, where's he been?
Well, what I appreciate about him also is that he is one of those Hollywood actors who...
He's so cool.
He goes off into the corner.
Oh, he's so
and
cool.
And comes back, does a dazzling job, and then he disappears again. Yes, Don Cheadle's in this one, Unstoppable, loving it.
And he's cool even in the film.
Like, yes.
He's got this thing, man. He is so together.
Yes.
Like, he's not trying to... Oh,
but he's on his tunes.
On his tunes.
Dignity, man. Okay, like a dignity.
Hi, man. He is so effortless.
I just love how he is able to also lend, as I say, gravitas to a story.
He's got a backbone. He's solid.
Presence.
He's not trying to be a movie star. That's the thing.
Him and Chiwetel,
yeah,
for me, the actors where you put them on screen and you know there's going to be magic happening, right? You don't care what's going to happen afterwards.
So let's get a little slightly political.
Okay.
So, you know, Hollywood is so predictable.
Mm.
Your Hollywood is so freaking predictable. Because here is a man who is unmatched.
Now, yes.
And they use Jennifer Lopez to sell the film.
So here's an interesting story about what's happening. So you'll see the thread of the movies I've chosen this week are the archetypes.
Mm.
But also what they're trying to do is that we're now back in the cycle where we're bringing out all your genre-specific favorites. So this is one of those teary, quite emotional movies. And I think they could have done a bit more about it.
Mm.
And the issue here is that, so we've got the story about this young man. He is...
Based on a true story
and a memoir. And he is a he's disabled. He has one leg. He was born with one leg, and he's a pro wrestler.
Mm.
So the story runs around how he leaves one scholarship to go to another, and halfway through something happens to the scholarship, and him and his mother having a very torrid time, and home life is not so great. Mm. He's the hope of the family, and yes, it's Jennifer Lopez. One reviewer who I thought made a wonderful point said, we would have loved to see Jennifer Lopez play the role of the mom seriously. What do we mean? The mom is meant to be working at Target, a department store.
And she doesn't look like she's a Target.
She doesn't.
She looks like she's from the cover of a glossy magazine.
Literally.
Not even trying.
Literally, she's all made up. Her hair has all the highlights, the bangs.
Everything.
All fresh young Matung. And she's meant to play... She's meant to play a mother... of I think four
who has
or five,
no money.
Who has no money, who's holding a job down and has
about
a husband.
To lose a home.
About to lose her home and has a husband who one of the reviewers described as soft abusive. So I'm more shappy, but there's not a very comfortable family life. Look, I appreciate the story because it's also a story of triumph and, beating the odds, very much like The Blind Side with Sandra Bullock. And I enjoyed it because for the first time we're having not just, where you are the kid who is a terrible background economically, but also, not being same-abled as the people who you're pitted against in that world of unfairness.
Yeah.
I do think that Hollywood is also trying very hard to sell scripts and they're doing whatever they can. And J-Lo,
I don't even think they mention... When they promo this film, they don't even mention John Cheadle. Not even a mention. Nothing.
Well, you watch and you go, oh, you say John Cheadle.
This is exactly what happens. And you're in it.
Yeah.
You're already in deep in the film. And you think, why didn't anybody say? I would have started here.
If I didn't know better, it feels like they almost shot the movie and they went, actually, you know what we need someone who's got real star presence.
No, they didn't
and
even
then
say
Mamulata
that.
After.
I don't even think they said that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just don't know. He just is so great and so... underrated, and hey, Hollywood yet in.
I think they also are trying very hard to make these cookie cutter movies that they know will sell, and then they're now just, you know, sort of putting anyone in. Remember the whole narrative around Hollywood is that they'll write a script and they'll have four or five actors that they'll put in together. I'm trying to understand how in their mind they ever thought that Don Cheadle will ever be a good match with J-Lo. I would have even if gone Sandra Bullock. You know who J-Lo reminds me of as an actress? Meg Ryan. In your mind, can you think of a Meg Ryan movie? No, you can't. Because it's sort of there. And the only thing Jennifer Lopez did very well was play Made in Manhattan. And even then, it was because of this wonderful poverty nostalgia, right? Like, we sit there and we like the idea of the maid marrying the rich man. But here, she is an unstoppable. The movie is interesting. I love the story. It's based on a memoir, and it's told by Anthony himself. And it is in streaming as of the 16th of January, being today.
Okay. And then, okay, so I'm going to jump around.
That's fine.
We're going to go to Back in Action.
So. Did you hate it?
No. And for only one reason. For only one. So, of course, I was going to hate it. It's exactly what I don't like. But Jamie Foxx. I mean, Jamie Foxx. So, I've never always been sure how I feel about Jamie Foxx. Not always, right?
Always, yeah.
But now, I feel like, no, man. He's coming to his own. He's not trying to be younger.
Yeah.
And actually, that he's coming to his own is exactly the thing.
Yes.
That's the person we're looking for.
He's settled so interestingly into this genre because, you know, Back in Action is this one, like, sort of comedy thriller, right? It's this whole idea around this Mr. and Mrs. Smith-esque. You know, they were spies. They now have to go back into the fold for one reason or another. Their family's in jeopardy after they had pulled out of the world of spyship and, you know, raised a family. And he's acting alongside Cameron Diaz, who's been on hiatus for a decade.
Yes.
And someone said
but they've got gorgeous chemistry.
They've got a wonderful chemistry.
It's lovely.
I think also because they didn't need the movie.
And they also don't take themselves too seriously.
Yeah. I think they didn't need the movie. Yeah. They knew that they've got the money in the bag. They're sharp. Yeah. We don't need to pay the bills using this.
Yeah.
But here's an interesting thing. It's called Back in Action. This is the first time, you know, Cameron, after the 10-year hiatus. Mm. And also, Jamie, he's been recovering from ill health.
Was it not a stroke? Yes.
And we had seen some, you know, horrifying footage of
him. In fact, people had called him dead.
I mean, there were times where we were waiting for him, you know.
Yeah,
it reminds me, they had
called it.
Very much of what's happening with Wendy Williams right now because, you know, we all thought she's really done. Now she's having an interview tomorrow, American time, on a breakfast show there. So the interesting story here for me is, as you said, it is an unexpected comedy. I hate the situational comedy sort of movie, right?
So this for me is exactly... You see, today I thought I loved you for this one because Rinali stress man. You know, we are all stressed out.
Yeah.
This South Africa is just a lot, you know? And this is where you just forget about it all and you just breathe and watch something nonsensical and this is it. And they are just, you're going to forget about everything else.
It really is. And they've got enough in there for you to get lost in.
And you can laugh and you chuckle and it's funny and it's stupid and it's all of that.
And you know who I loved? Mm. I love the kids.
The children. Oh, the children.
I think the kids, I don't know if it's...
I think the children brought it because of the two.
I think so too.
I think so too.
There's a wonderful one where the kid sees dad beating some guys outside.
Yeah.
And then the son goes, "Dad, so it means you can beat up all the dads in my..."
Yes, not all at the same time.
I can, but not all of them at the same time. And again, it's just small little nuggets that you get from Jamie Foxx. And I think he does very well. You know what I appreciate about him? For the longest time, I always thought that Hollywood was trying to mesh him up with Will Smith. But I'm enjoying that his comedy is a little more goofier. He reminds me of the character he played in Living Colour.
Mm.
You know, where you start seeing it. Okay, he's got a goofy side to him that's very different to a Will Smith. Because even when they do serious movies, you can start seeing the similarities.
I just love, he's just more relaxed.
Yeah.
And he's not trying to be all dolled up. Mm. I loved that. I love the fact. And he's always, for the longest time, I think my irritation with him was also, he was packaged.
Yeah.
It was packaged goods. this to me feels like the guy has just come into his own.
Yeah.
He's not giving two hoots about whether his eyebrows are dyed.
Yeah.
Or not.
Or the little gray on the beard is dyed.
He's not giving two hoots about that, which I think is exactly what we want. So after Ray, he's just okay with this one.
I think you're quite right. I think he knows he earns his chops. I think he knows he's got the money. I think he knows the genres he's very comfortable with. Mm. You know who I hope would get there? Mm. Kevin Hart. Because Kevin Hart is still trying.
I don't know Kevin Hart is going to get there anytime soon.
Mm. Kevin Hart,
because Kevin Hart is trying to be extremely commercial.
Yes.
And I think not now, not yet.
He's
still trying to sign some commercial deals.
He needs to take the 10-year hiatus that Cameron Diaz took and come back.
No, he needs to stop chasing the sponsorship deal.
Yeah. Mm. I think he's carrying on like someone who's got bills to pay.
Yes.
You know, like he's rent is due and he needs to make a plan.
And so he's selling everything.
Yeah. Mm. I did find it very interesting that the couple was interracial, and I really appreciated that.
I just loved it. I loved their chemistry. I loved everything about it. It's stupid, guys. Don't expect anything, but it's funny.
And you'll enjoy it.
And it's okay.
You'll enjoy it. Okay. It's streaming tomorrow on Netflix.
All right. And then?
Alarum. Okay. So I struggled with this because...
I hated it.
Did you? Mm. I thought this was one for the guys.
It's definitely
who like
not for me.
Very, very thriller, very much about shooting. Again,
it was just too and while they're busy I think at some point, I don't even know if they know what the storyline is.
There is no storyline.
Oh, okay.
There is a storyline. Okay. The storyline is very flimsy. Okay. It's as flimsy as, you know, a piece of tissue in water.
The entire movie.
But what I thought was interesting is, you know how you look at Sylvester Stallone and Sylvester Stallone, Arnold Schwarzenegger are the elders in the room when it comes to action films, right? Yeah. But this is interesting for me because Sylvester Stallone is the one who actually saves this movie, believe it or not.
Yes.
So you got these guys who are, you've got Willa Fitzgerald, you've got Mike Coulter, and the whole idea is they are spies who are going through a lot. And they go, you know what, let's go on holiday and go like rekindle and reconnect. And then they are about to be removed off the grid because of one reason or another. Yeah. And Sylvester Stallone is there to step in. I just thought it was so interesting to see Sylvester acting for once.
That you know? Sylvester Stallone has to save your film. Ne?
It tells you everything you need to know.
Folks, I don't know. I think just watch for Sylvester Stallone. If you're a Sylvester Stallone fan, he's now no longer the governor. He wants acting money again. Do it for him.
And you really will appreciate the performance. You leave there going, wow, that was a refreshing take on Sylvester Stallone. I just don't think it's as strong as, for instance, a Back in Action with Jamie Foxx. I think on the circuit
right
now.
No, guys, go watch Back in Action. You're going to love us for it. Okay, Wolfman.
Okay, so this is very interesting for me. So it's a thriller.
Yeah.
It's not my genre as well.
Yeah.
But this for me was very interesting because what they've tried to do is have this weird didactic sort of referral back to, you know, the monster within and the monster without. So remember, in Alarum, we are now gone into this winter wonderland and we're trying to figure ourselves out and we're now spies. Something similar happens in this case, but here, this guy inherits a home. Mm-hmm. From his dad, and for one reason or another, he has to go deal with the house. On the way there, an occurrence happens, and he finds himself, you know, in a bit of sticky trouble. He has a daughter called Ginger, and his wife is there. And now they get to the house for safety, but we realize that the danger they think is outside might also be inside. Mm-hmm. And that's where we're trying to figure out exactly how it sets up. I appreciated it because I think for this genre of movie, it's very easy for you to get the normal cookie cutter. It's a bear outside.
Yes.
It's going to try to break down the wall. But this is a lot of what Hollywood's doing right now because they're going back outside now. So we're seeing a lot more of the sort of thriller types. There was a time early on in the year where they were doing a lot of whimsical fantasy stuff, so I think the budget is now being realigned. I think because everyone just needs to forget what's happening on Monday with you know who is taking over a big White House in the middle of Pennsylvania Avenue. So I appreciated it because it was something I watched, and there wasn't, and even the scares and the thrill weren't the typical where you hear the music foreboding you into it. So I appreciated it. It is
so, yeah, for those who love thriller, this will This will fly.
It will tick all the boxes, and it's delicious, and it's very nice, and it's very different from what's on the circuit.
It's called Wolfman.
Yes. Okay?
And then the theatre is calling.
Yes, we're going to the Teatro on the 25th. That's what it's meant to say over there. We are going for My Fair Lady. Okay.
So do young people know My Fair Lady?
I think they would. I think if you're still into
they do.
The fairy tales. I know My Fair
how
Lady.
Would, how would, no, you're not young. So where would they know it from? Curious. I'm generally asking.
So we don't have the channels that we used to have when we were growing up, where you'd have your story time and your fairy tales that I'm looking for. So I would hope that at least it's been passed on through in the family.
How?
But hey, yeah. Hey,
how?
Hey.
And it's changed names, obviously. The original was not My Fair Lady.
Yes. I think it's the Lady and the Tramp. No?
I don't remember.
Must check.
Was My Fair Lady the original name?
Or yeah.
I don't know.
I gotta check.
But
and I'll tweet
for
it.
Old people, My Fair Lady is the only way.
Yes, that we know it as. Yes,
and it's wonderful.
You know what I'm appreciating about the teatro and what's happening from theatre. There's now differences, right? So we've always had the teatro being where we do big blockbuster, big show performances, right? Mm. And then we have like the market and you know, the Barnyard, maybe the Joburg Theatre being the ones where you go for sort of the more workshop plays, the more, you know, artistic of the players. I'm enjoying that we get to see that. We've now started to see a bit of a genre coming along where you'll have like Beauty and the Beast, and then you'll have like My Fair Lady, and then you can anticipate a Pinocchio coming through, and then, you know, Janice Honeyman will do something with a panto. So it's going to be fun. And what they're doing also is that they are bringing in more classical music, which I think is interesting for
and
stories.
And ballets.
Mm. And especially where we're trying to sort of get people to get bang for their buck, where it's hard for you to go watch like a full ballet, for instance, and then go out and watch something like this. My Fair Lady for me is a nice mix. It's on from the 23rd of January, and you can get tickets at the Teatro.
It's wonderful. Thank you so much, Leroy. See you next week.
Next week. Bye-bye.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.